For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
God, thank you for our health. I thank you for this moment right here. And I pray that we could be in this moment, that we could be here this evening, that our minds wouldn't be elsewhere with our plans and our agendas, or our worries and stresses, but we would be here, God, in your presence. Holy Spirit, come. And in Jesus' name, it says, where two or more are gathered in your midst, Father, that you're here. And so, Holy Spirit, come. Do what no man can do. Holy Spirit, come right now. You know what every person is going through. You know their thoughts, their fears, their questions, their sins. I pray, Holy Spirit, come and do something divine in this place this evening. In Jesus' name, everyone said,
amen.
Amen. I like that. I'm going to go ahead and move this TV back a little bit so this section over here isn't left out in the cold. Tonight's sermon title is this. How's your diet? If you take notes, which I encourage all of you to take notes because like every human being, the majority of us, I should say, we leave and we forget what we hear a lot. How many people are like this? So we need notes. So open your smartphones. If you are old school and you brought paper, bust those out. If you brought your Bible, which I continue to just encourage you guys anytime that I'm up here, please carry this around. I know we have them in our phones now, but there's nothing better than just carrying a heavy 50-pound leather-bound book around, okay? But tonight's title is called How's Your Diet? And we'll get to explaining the title a little bit later, but I want to walk you through, and I always like to use my own life as an example. So that way I'm not standing up here on some pedestal having all the answers to every problem. I want to be honest, so that way if you ever see me out and about and I'm not looking like I'm being very Christian-like, you already know, I already told you what I struggle with. So a couple weeks ago, I had this battle, this confrontation with the Holy Spirit. Maybe some of you have been there before. Let me explain how this confrontation happened. So I'm sitting there playing video games. That's right, I'm a 31-year-old man that plays video games. I'm proud of it. Now, I'm not like some of you gamers out there, your children, that you just can't get away from the TV, but every now and then I like to indulge in some good old video game action. And so I'm there a couple weeks ago playing video games, and all of a sudden, after 2 hours of playing, it was my day off, get off me, and I started to feel this guilt. Like, what is this? Am I sinning right now? I don't think I have any sin in my life. I've been sitting here for a while, so at least the last couple hours, I haven't done anything wrong. And the day goes on, and I've moved on to Netflix, which is amazing. We've talked about Netflix and my love for Netflix and your love for Netflix. Thank you for making us not have to click the next episode. You do it for us. You're amazing. And so I moved on to Netflix, and again, this guilt is just weighing on my heart, and it's gotten a little heavier, and I'm like, what on earth is going on here? And so I move on from Netflix to my phone, and I'm checking my Facebook news feed, seeing all your guys' stuff and drama and who's mad at who and all the fake news posts that are on there about what's going on in the world, trying to decipher what's true and what's not, getting all stressed out because something that's not true they say is happening. And go through my sports app, checking out the NBA playoffs, who's doing what, and that guilt is still there. And I come to the realization, I know what it is. I know it's the Holy Spirit. I don't want to acknowledge it. I even apologize to God, right? I'm so sorry. I don't even know what I'm sorry for, but I'm sorry. I'm having this battle with the Holy Spirit, and the battle was this, right? Spend time with me. Spend time with me. It wasn't like you should be spending time with me instead of these things. It was the Holy Spirit doing what the Holy Spirit does and saying, spend time with me. How many people have ever been here before during your day, right? And I found myself afterwards, right? So after I'm done with the video games, the Netflix, the hours upon hours going through the Facebook feed, just having this where I broke down, I finally acknowledge it was the Holy Spirit trying to tell me to spend time with God, and I'm sitting there and I'm going like, do I even love Jesus? Do I even love you, Jesus? Let me think about this for a moment. On a regular day, my day off, what would I rather be doing? In my mind, in my heart, I know the answer is spend every waking hour with you, Jesus. But my flesh is like, I want to play video games and watch Netflix and relax on the couch. And I have this conversation with myself and with Jesus. Do I even love you, Jesus? Do I really, 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 really love you? And again, the end of this story is not you're sinning if you're playing video games or watching TV instead of spending time with Jesus. So don't worry. But I have this question. I think, as far as I know, I love Jesus. I go to his house all the time, right? We're friends on Facebook. Did you know Jesus has Facebook? Did you guys know that? I bought his book. I read it all the time. I support his ministry financially. I think I love Jesus. But do I really love Jesus? And I started thinking, can I live without Jesus? Can I really, Shane, answer this honestly. Don't say what needs to be heard. Can you live without Jesus? Am I cool with just like a long distance thing, right? And maybe the greatest question of all, I mentioned this at college group a couple weeks ago, and this just hits me hard. It's this: if I get to heaven and Jesus isn't there, this is totally hypothetical. We know Jesus will be in heaven, but just for the sake of challenging myself how much I love Jesus, if I got to heaven and Jesus wasn't there, would it bother me? Would I still want to be in heaven? That's crazy to think. Have you ever thought about that before? You get through the pearly gates. By the skin of your teeth, somehow you make it in there. Some of us, we're going to go like, I made it in, right? Thank you, Jesus. And then we get there and we're like, Jesus. And they're like, oh no, Jesus isn't here. And we're like, it's kind of cool though. I could kick it for a while. Or is our whole purpose and the desire of our life and being in heaven in the first place is because Jesus is there? Some questions I want you yourselves, as they were burning in me, I want them to start burning in you. I don't want you to question your faith, because it's very simple what the word says. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, right? But do we really, do you really love Jesus? If Jesus wasn't in heaven, would we want to be there? As far as I know and as far as you know, everything's looking good for me, right? Things are going well. I have a house. My son thrashes it, but it's still a house. I have a car, a nice car. It's a Kia. Watch out. Kia's moving up the ranks, ladies and gentlemen. Don't hate on the Kias. I got a house, check. I got a car, check. I got a hot wife, double check. Smoking. I'm healthy. I got beautiful kids. I'm a pastor of one of the most amazing college ministries. The most amazing people. I love them. They're amazing. So as far as you know, and you can tell on the outside, and as far as I know, I love Jesus. My life, from everybody's perspective, even my own, is that I'm blessed. Amen. I'm blessed, but does that mean that I really love Jesus? Of course I do, right? Of course, I have to love Jesus. After all, I spend all my time serving him. I spend all my time loving his people. Sometimes, not all the time. But somehow, yet, I can find myself disconnected and distant from God. Why? How? How can this be? See, I believe there's a lot of people in the religious world that may have the same problem as I do. And I want to help fix it. I want to help fix the problem. See, this last couple weeks when it hit me, I'm like, okay, God, you're starting to show me what my problem is. And we're going to get to what the point of this whole message is going to be tonight. But I want to, now, my focus is no longer to encourage you to be religious. I want to introduce you to Jesus. I want to teach you how to help other people meet Jesus. I want to teach you and encourage you and show you how to have encounters with Jesus on a daily basis, to walk with Jesus per se. The key to this is so simple. When I was thinking about this problem that I was having, I was like, okay, Lord, I know your word is truth. I know that truth is in there. And if I know anything, and I've learned anything about you, is that you are not complicated and that you do not cast confusion on me. So it has to be simple. And what I found is the answer is truly simple. It's so simple, we've heard it all of our Christian lives and we miss it or we forget it. Do you want to know what the key is? How many people want to know what the key is? Oh, the key to life, Shane, oh, this is the key to success. Let me tell you, in the simplest form, I believe that the people of the Bible did this, and we as people, it's so easy to get away from this. The scripture we're going to go through tonight is found in Luke 10. If you have your Bibles, I'll give you a second to turn there. Luke 10, we're starting in verse 38, and I want to read this in two different versions of the Bible. I'm going to read it in the NASB and in the Message, because I love the Message Bible. There's no, if I ever have a question, they said something super smart and I didn't understand what they said, in another version, I go like the Message Bible's for me. All right, I'm not that smart. So let's read it in the NASB first. It's Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. Now, as they were traveling along, Jesus and his disciples, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary." Underline, circle, highlight that word. "For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Now let's read this in the Message Bible. It's not completely different, but it just lays it out there. As they continued their travel, Jesus entered a village. A woman by the name of Martha welcomed him and made him feel quite at home. You go, Martha. She had a sister, Mary, who sat before the master, hanging on every word he said. But Martha was pulled away by all she had to do in the kitchen. Later she stepped in, interrupting them, "Master, don't you care that my sister has abandoned the kitchen to me? Tell her to lend me a hand." The master said, "Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing only is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It's the main course and won't be taken from her. Ask for what you need." This is the core idea, is that I believe that it is so easy for us to become Jesus deficient. You've heard of iron deficiency, yes? Yes? Vitamin deficiency. We have become Jesus deficient in our search, in our serving, in our walk, because we forget the essential part, the core idea of it all, right? It's like this. It's as if I eat my veggies on Monday, 1st of October. You know what? I'm not going to have veggies again until November 1st. Or it's as if my wife and I, we have a conversation on Monday, but we don't talk till the next Monday. I don't know what she has planned. She's made plans. She has ideas. She's feeling certain things that she wants to express to me. There's things going on with our kids and needs and desires, and I have no idea what they are because I only meet with her once a week. I have a deficiency. And so I believe in our lives as it gets busier. We all know that life doesn't slow down. The Christian walk doesn't slow down. Needs and trials, circumstances, struggles, they don't stop. They keep coming. And in our search for this, we forget what it is that's the core need that we have. I went to the doctor. Day before yesterday? First time I've been to the doctor in 4 years, because as you can tell, I hate the doctor. If there's any doctors in here, I love you. It's nothing personal. It's just the experience in its entirety, right? How many people dread going to the doctor or the dentist? Some of you, I won't even ask you if you love going, because I don't want you to get mauled by all the people around you, okay? Because we walk in, right? You walk into the doctor's office. The waiting room isn't a pleasant place because it's called waiting room, right? Have all this paperwork to fill out. This is just the beginning of the experience. You're going in, you're going like, it's been 4 years. Lord knows what I have, what's going on with this body of mine. I don't even want to hear any kind of bad news. I'll just pretend like it doesn't exist and I'm perfectly fine. But I go in and, you know, the doctor, he's checking me out. It's just a physical. As far as I know, I have nothing wrong. But then I go, oh, you know, I have backaches, or I have this thing on my skin, and I have this going on. And he listens to everything that I have to say, and then he goes, well, let's talk about your diet. I'm like, Doc, I know I have an unhealthy relationship with food. That doesn't even need to be expressed. Why do we need to talk about my diet here? We're talking about the thing on my skin. We're talking about, you know what I mean, the ache in my back, why I can't see farther than 10 yards. Well, that's what I'm here for. Well, let's talk about your diet. What are you eating? You know, he told me that if you eat these certain foods and you get rid of a lot of certain things in your diet, that it is actually proven to cure diseases. It's actually proven to stop things from happening before they start in any ailments in our life. And I thought that was a fantastic metaphor for my Christian walk. Now, I want to talk about something, right? Why and how? Before we get into anything else, why and how do we become Jesus deficient? Why and how do we get lost? Why and how do we get to this place to where do we even love Jesus? Or what are we even doing as our Christian walks? There's a couple disorders that I believe some of us may have. The first disorder is this. Number one, some of us are complicators/fixers. We're complicators/fixers. Let me explain what this is. We are the ones that hate asking for help. You could say, if this pertains to you, you could say amen. Let's just say that instead of raising your hand, okay? We are the ones that hate asking for help. We got this. We have it all together. I'll call you when I need you. When life gets on a roll, trials, circumstances, struggles, whether that's anger, different sins, we take things into our own hands and we end up making things worse. We pray on the go constantly. And not only that, not only are we fixers, not only do we complicate things by just getting our hands in it and making it a mess and trying to fix it ourselves. We want things fixed right now. We want our finances. Oh man, my finances are struggling, but I want it fixed right now. I'm going to go and do whatever I can to fix my finances right now. This relationship, it just isn't working. I'm going to fix it, but it needs to be fixed right now. And how many people know that when you try to fix a lady right now, you make things worse? How many people know this to be true? Oh, I have this anger issue in my life. I need to fix this. I'm embarking on a mission to fix this anger in me, and I want it fixed now. Tomorrow I want to wake up and this anger be fixed. Our sins, our trials, our situations. When we get in situations, if we have this disorder, we are the ones that want to be out of that situation now because it's uncomfortable. We don't want to be in it, and we do whatever we can to get out of it when we don't even realize that God kind of wanted us to be in that and work through it because he wanted to do something to our character more than anything else. And so you might suffer from being a complicator or a fixer. See, what happens with this is before we know it, we find ourselves knee-deep in life, supposedly living for God, but have no idea if what we're doing is what he wants us to do, or if who we're with is who he wants us to be with, etc., etc., because we've taken the wheel for so long and tried to fix things for so long. We've been busybodies for so long. We started out, Jesus, take the wheel. We can't remember when we took it back, and before we know it, things are like a ball of yarn or like the headsets when you put them in your gym bag after you're done and you take it out and it looks like there was a little creature that went in and just tied it all into knots and left and was like, We're like people, maybe you're like me, right? Maybe you can relate with me. IKEA, God bless IKEA. You go in, they show you all the furniture. You go, I want that. I'm gonna buy that. Then they go and get it, and wouldn't you know, it's not assembled. And wouldn't you know, IKEA didn't use 5 parts to put that thing together. They decided to use 500 parts to put that thing together. And so maybe you're like me. The problem presents itself. There's a 100-page booklet on how to put this desk together. I don't have time to read 100 pages and then embark on my mission to put this desk together. I'm going to go ahead and just go ahead and wing it. That part looks like it goes here. This part looks like it goes here. This. What are all these letters mean? What are all these little colored dots mean? I don't even know. I don't even care. I want this fixed and I want it now. I'm going to get it done. I want a desk. I want to write on the desk. I want to study on the desk. I want to do Jesus type stuff with my desk. You know what I mean? I'm going to set the phone that I'm going to call people and pray for them on this desk. Jesus wants this desk made now. And so we go and we embark and we realize that there was a purpose, that the red dot actually meant that it was supposed to be on the left side and the green dot meant that it was the top, not the bottom. And once it's all together, you realize, why didn't I just stop to read the manual? And then you end up reading the 100-page manual afterwards. Amen? Yeah. I suffer from this disorder. Constantly. And I don't learn my lesson. Man, do you want to know the remedy if you have this disorder? You want to know the remedy? Do any of you guys want to know the key? The key? A few of you do. Slow down and get quiet with Jesus. Slow down and get quiet with Jesus. It's amazing. The quieter we get, the louder the Holy Spirit becomes. The quieter we get, the louder the Holy Spirit becomes. Stay with me. There is a point to all this. The second disorder is this. Worriers. Where are all my worriers at? Where are all my stress freaks at? I'm raising my hand too. I'm just not asking you to raise your hand. Just that, you know what I'm saying? We're the ones stricken with fear. Fear of failure. We have insecurities galore. We're constantly worried about making the wrong decisions. We worry about our finances. We worry about our health. We worry about losing our things. We worry about pleasing God. It sounds like a Christian thing to do, right? You better make sure you're pleasing God. We worry about whether we please God or not. You want to know what the problem is with this? Is that we end up living every day trying to sin as least as possible, trying to not fail. It's called the playing not to lose mentality. See, in sports, there's usually a shift in teams when they play each other. At one point, even in poker, you can see someone, you can see when a team they no longer have the eye of the tiger, as I like to call it, right? They have this fear that overcomes them, that every move they make is followed by timidity because they're playing not to lose instead of playing to win. And in life, because we worry about every little thing, including whether we please God or not, we do this thing to where just at the end of the day, we go like, oh man, I'm just glad I didn't sin a lot today. How many people suffer from this? We've taken our eyes off Jesus and made it our life's goal to just try and make it to heaven. We're like the guy who buried his talent, right? You know the parable? The guy gives talents to three people. The first two go, we went out and we made more. The last guy goes, just basic, I was scared. I was scared to lose your money and for you to be mad at me, and so what I did was I buried the talent. I was so stricken with fear and worry that I buried this thing because I was more worried about you not being mad at me. Here's the problem with this. It's people that worry a lot tend to not spend a lot of time at the feet of Jesus. Can I tell you, the remedy, if you're a worrier, is to slow down and get quiet with Jesus. Slow down and get quiet with Jesus. Matthew 6, 25 through 34 says this, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." There is a point. Let me get to the third thing that this is a disorder that I would like to aspire, the one that I'd like to acquire. And this third one is, we're resters. We're resters. We're the Marys. We're the people who smell like Jesus because we've spent so much time with him. Why is it in our Christian walk? Why is it in our Christian walk? Me, I'm pointing at myself, okay? Why? There's four pointing back at me. I think there's four, right? Right? There's four pointing back at me. Why is it in our Christian walk? We start out good, right? We start out on this plan. We start out with this idea of loving Jesus. And then as ministries and needs and life and kids and marriage and finances and trials and whatever it is, struggles, whatever you have, we spend less time with Jesus. Why? Why is it like that? Why do we become Martha's so easily? It said she was distracted. She was distracted. And it wasn't even a huge, it wasn't like a sinful thing that distracted her. It was the planning, the preparing. Those of us that go out and we try to take life in our own hands and fix things the way we think they should be fixed and the timing that we should fix them, and we never spend time with Jesus because we're out the door before he has a chance to speak. We're like, Lord, I pray for this. Thank you very much. I'll see you later, okay? Talk to you next Monday. Or we're the warriors where we're spending so much time trying not to do bad stuff that we forget that the point is to love Jesus, to spend time with Jesus. I love Daniel, right? We've heard about Daniel in the lion's den, right? The reason why he was in the den was because they made a decree that no one could pray to any god during a certain amount of time. And you know what Daniel did? He continued to spend time at the feet of Jesus. And when he found himself in the den full of lions, he was able to rest because he had spent the time with the Lord. See, I believe this is the key to everything. This is the key, spending time at the feet of Jesus, spending more. Pastor Ron hit on it this last Sunday night. Some of us haven't spent more than 5 minutes with the Lord. We don't spend more than 5 minutes with the Lord every day. And we're Jesus deficient. Here's the thing, I believe it is the key, spending time at the feet of Jesus. Jesus told Martha, Mary's doing the only thing that's necessary, the only thing that is essential. Mary is doing it. She's at my feet, hanging on to every word that I say. So when she goes out that door, and when life hits her in the face, or when she's struggling with anger, or when she's struggling with lust or fear or doubt or finances or relationship problems, she knows the direction she should go. She knows the answers to the questions that will pose themselves later because she's already come and got filled up at my feet. Right? This is the thing. I feel like I'm so guilty of this, and I told the Lord I don't want to be a hypocrite coming up here and telling you something to practice that wasn't me, that I don't do. I don't want you to practice something that I don't practice myself. And so you know what I did this morning? I went up to my son's room and I laid on my face and I made sure that I spent time at Jesus' feet so I don't come up here. And my plan every day after this, I know it's so simple. You're like, I've heard this a million times. Do we do it? Yeah. Well, do we do it? It's like the doctor. If I'm going to go see him in a couple more weeks. And he's going to be like, how's your diet? I'm like, you told me about my diet last time. I just didn't do anything about it. It's the same thing. It's crazy. Check this out, right? It has, it is, and it always will be Jesus, right? I'm dealing with heartache. Spend time with Jesus. I need peace. Spend time with Jesus. What's the key to having a successful business? Spend time with Jesus. I need physical healing. Spend time with Jesus. Pastor Ron spent time with Jesus, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit put it on his heart what he needed to do to beat cancer. Does that make sense? I have anger problems. Spend time with Jesus. How do I be a good parent? Spend time with Jesus. John 14, 1 through 7. Pastor Ron did say I could, if I was out of here by 8:10 tonight. Just so He gave me five more extra minutes. So John 14, 1 through 7. I forgot to tell them that backstage. They're probably like wanting to get me with a hook right now. But do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. Here's the point. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? Here we go. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Jesus is, that's it. Jesus is the center, the core, everything. If you come to church, if you serve in a ministry, if you are an evangelist, if you are trying to do this walk and Jesus is not the core, if you spending time with Jesus is not the majority of what you do, I challenge you now to refocus and ask yourself, how is my diet? How is my diet? I have an illustration I'm going to share with you. It's on my phone, so bear with me here. Okay, internet works. Okay. Meaning no disrespect to the religious convictions of others, I still can't help wondering how we can explain away what to me is the greatest miracle of all and which is recorded in history. No one denies there was such a man, that he lived and that he was put to death by crucifixion. Where is the miracle I spoke of? Well, consider this and let your imagination translate the story into our own time, possibly to your own hometown. A young man whose father is a carpenter grows up working in his father's shop. One day he puts down his tools and walks out of his father's shop. He starts preaching on street corners in the nearby countryside, walking from place to place, preaching all the while, even though he is not an ordained minister. He does this for 3 years. Then he is arrested, tried, and convicted. There is no court of appeal, so he is executed at age 33, along with two common thieves. Those in charge of his execution roll dice to see who gets his clothing, the only possessions he has. His family cannot afford a burial place for him, so he's interned in a borrowed tomb. End of story? No. This is uneducated, propertyless young man who left no written word has for 2,000 years had a greater effect on the world than all the rulers, kings, emperors, and all the conquerors, generals and admirals, all the scholars, scientists, and philosophers who had ever lived, all of them put together. How do we explain that? Unless he really was who he said he was. I'll read that again. Is this man really Jesus? For 2,000 years, he has had a greater effect on the world than all the rulers, kings, emperors, all the conquerors, generals and admirals, all the scholars, scientists and philosophers who have ever lived, all of them put together. How do we explain that unless he really is who he says he is? I believe the key to life. Life is going to bring problems, Jesus says. It says it in John, that we're going to have struggles, that we're going to have struggles with sin, that death, persecution, these things are going to come upon us day after day after day after day. And I believe the key to a successful Christian walk is how much time we spend at the feet of Jesus. I know you're going like, I've heard that my entire life. Well, then my challenge is to you to start doing it. And if you are doing it, you're probably better off than a lot of us. Doesn't mean your trials, your problems go away. It just means you know what to do when they come about and you have peace when they happen because you've abided in Jesus. Jesus says, abide in me and I'll abide in you. Amen? Well, let's pray. If you would, just bow your heads, close your eyes. I want to pray this. God, I know I didn't say anything smart tonight. I know I probably didn't say anything that a lot of these people didn't already know. But God, I do believe, as myself is included in this, that we are deficient of our time spent with you. God, we're a wreck when problems come. We have messy relationships. We have long existing battles with the same sin, and we don't know why or how that we can find ourselves distant from you. And I believe, God, it's because we don't spend enough time with you. And so right now, I just pray, God, if there's anybody out here in this place, and if you're on the internet, I just want to extend this offer to you as well. If you're in this room and you feel like you don't know Jesus, You've never given your life to him. You've never made that decision to fully commit. You've danced with the idea. I want to challenge you right now to give your life to Jesus. It'll be the greatest decision that you've ever made. So along with the challenge for each and every one of you to go spend quality time with Jesus every day at his feet, I want to challenge those of you in here, if you don't know Jesus, would you do me a favor and just raise your hand? This is just an acknowledgement between you and God. That you want him. That you want him. Well, let's pray this with them, okay? Dear Jesus, I acknowledge you as Lord. I acknowledge that I'm messed up and that you're the key to life. Please come into my body. Make me new. I love you, in Jesus' name. Everyone said,
amen.
Amen, amen. Please, I know it's baby stuff, but let's spend more time at the feet of Jesus, in his presence, in quiet. Thank you guys. You guys have a good night.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.